Episode 28, first, 2009, Apollo 13. Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. ATUK is a not-for-profit amateur astronomy podcast produced by me, Gurbir Singh, an amateur astronomer based in the UK. For more information, see the About and FAQ pages at www.astrotalkuk.org. On this day, 40 years ago, the crew of Apollo 11 fulfilled one of mankind's longest-held dreams and walked on the surface of the moon. One of them, Buzz Aldrin, in episode 12 of ATUK, recalled a little of that experience. Today's episode is a short recording with Fred Hayes, lunar module pilot, Apollo 13, when he visited Pontefract, as arranged by Ken Willoughby. Incidentally, Jim Lovell is also visiting Pontefract in Yorkshire on October the 2nd, 2009. If you are close to Northern England on that date, consider stopping by. Of the 12 men who walked on the moon, now, sadly, only 9 remain. Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes, along with Jim Lovell and Jack Swigart, were arguably the subject of one of 20th century's most dramatic events and the subject of the film Apollo 13. Fred Hayes never made it to the surface of the moon. He served on the backup crew for Apollo 8, Apollo 11, Apollo 16, and the cancelled Apollo 19 mission. As a backup, he could have been on the first mission to the moon, Apollo 8, first moon landing, Apollo 11, and of course, commanded his own mission on Apollo 19. But the Apollo program was cancelled after Apollo 17. Remember the first shuttle, Enterprise, on the back of a modified 747? Between February and October 1977, it flew 16 times to perform the approach and landing tests. Fred Hayes was involved in 5 of those, 3 of which involved the Enterprise in free flight. Speaking to Fred during the dinner on the day before this recording, he came across as an ordinary guy who did not consider himself to be special, but just around at the right time, at the right place. During the course of the evening, he had spoken to many who were present, but most of the evening had gone by, and I had not had a chance to say hello. Then, suddenly, he approached from a corner of the room and said, "Hello, I'm Fred Hayes. I don't think we've met." In the short conversation that followed, he indicated that fishing was his primary hobby, and although his trip on Apollo 13 was dramatic, he had had an eventful life before and after it. Sure, it is impossible to have a deep insight from a couple of short meetings. Perhaps it's the ease with which he used my first name, which some people find heavy going, and conversed as if I'd always known him. There is something particularly ordinary about the way he conducted himself, how he accepted the extreme high and low experiences in his life as nothing more than an occupational hazard. For someone so closely involved in the Apollo program, Apollo 13 was his one and only spaceflight. Fred Hayes, lunar module pilot, Apollo 13, welcome to AstroTalk UK.
Thank you.
When was the last time you looked at the moon through a telescope?
Oh, it's been a very long time ago. I had a scope of my own one time. And I spent a lot of time looking at the moon and the features that are more prominent, Jupiter, Saturn, but Mars, which is not too well distinguished most of the time, and a kind of power telescope ahead. But no, that's about it.
Do you look at Frau Mara uplands, the area where you were going to be landing?
No, not any more than the moon in general, no.
And do your family, grandchildren, are they active astronomers in any sense?
No, none of them, other than what they, you know, get in school.
Now, the LEM normally doesn't make it back to the Earth. And in this case, I think it ended up, or what was left of it, ended up in the South Pacific between Samoa and New Zealand. It had on board one of these, not a nuclear reactor, but nuclear battery. Did NASA try to recover it?
No, this was an RTG, which had a nuclear power source. No, it was not recovered. There actually was a second LEM that also re-entered on Apollo 9. Apollo 9 was an Earth orbit mission, and that one was not recovered, and it re-entered.
And the radio blackout during re-entry normally lasts about 4 minutes, but in your case, it lasted about five. Is that right?
I have no explanation for that. The blackout is different for us than people on the ground. We're not even, frankly, aware of it. So in that period, most of the period during entry, we're pretty much on our own to do what we need to do to navigate to get back. Things are happening so fast that normally Mission Control is not involved at that time.
Right.
So it was more of a problem, I think, and a worry for the people on the ground than for us.
Exactly, but normally it's about 4 minutes. So was it genuine, the blackout, that it lasted longer than any other entry?
Yes, and to my knowledge, it's been explained in various ways, like our entry was shallower than planned, and that extended it, but I've never heard a hard scientific reason for that.
Yeah, because you landed pretty much on target, about 3 or 4 miles away.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. You were slated as the commander for Apollo 19, but NASA cancelled the Apollo program after 17. That was very close. Can you recall how you felt when you heard that announcement?
Well, I was disappointed. I was involved in the training on Apollo 16 at the time. Backing up that mission. Of course, I had a role to play there to get ready to go fly that mission. But, yeah, at the time it was announced, again, I was sad again that I knew I would lose the chance.
Now, you believe in going back to Mars rather than the Moon?
Eventually, I think we need to go as far as the human race can go. You know, the time domain may be very long, but I think it's part of our destiny. And actually, really, if you want to preserve the race very long time, it's kind of like a divine province. We've been given this capability. We could do it to plant the human race elsewhere. Because, as you know, there have been major extinctions, some four or five, depending on how you count them, with the dinosaurs being the last. They were around about 200 million years before they went away, so hopefully we have a similar time domain to figure it all out on how to put people elsewhere.
And finally, you have an interest in the Mississippi Space Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have an interest in NASA in general, but in particular that center is involved right now in trying to build a science center where they will put their visitor center to be a part of it, to move it off of Stennis, primarily more for security reasons. NASA's trying to move those type of things off their installations. And so I've been involved with a board that was formed, a not-for-profit board, to assist NASA primarily in fundraising activities that they cannot indulge in legally. And so we provide that avenue for NASA to get the thing built.
Fred Hayes, Lunar Module Pilot, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
This week's quote is from Carl Sagan. There are many worlds we have never seen before. Only one generation in the history of the human species is privileged to live during that time those great discoveries are first made. That generation is ours.